G'day, welcome to Diz Down Under, episode 15.
Hi, I'm Catherine.
And I'm Lewis.
And welcome to our unofficial view of Disney from Australia.
That's right, all the way down here where you know, we like to travel around in kangaroos. We really don't. We don't do that.
No, we travel in their pouches.
No, it's very mucousy in there. You don't want to do that.
Oh, gross. Your rank. I think...
That's it. It's like we want to be educational and informative as well, not just about Disney, but about all things marsupial.
Thank you, Lewis. Now that you've had your Australian education segment... I don't know where to go from that. Oh, let's tell them some exciting news. Well, I got a little bit sort of reminiscy and angry last time we met and were talking about Disneyland because my haircut, I needed my haircut, and the last decent haircut that I had was in Tokyo. And now it's safe to talk about Tokyo Disneyland because I've had my hair cut and it's wonderful and I'm so happy.
That's good. I'm glad you finally found a barber.
That's so true.
Or a woman barber, a hairstylist. Or is it a barber? Is it not?
I think those blokes just call themselves hairdressers.
Just hairdressers? Fair enough. We'll go with that.
Keeping it simple.
Yeah.
Rocking it old school. So, yeah, Tokyo.
It was awesome. It was great. Yeah, it's a fantastic place with two parks and lots of awesome hotels and some good snacking.
That's true. Mm-hmm. So we stayed at the Disneyland Hotel. We settled on that this time.
We did settle on it.
And we also settled on going a little bit upper class and posh and staying in the concierge level.
We did. And we'll never do it again.
Only because the only things that we didn't find outstanding in terms of food and drink experiences was the Marceline Salon, which is like the club lounge.
Yeah, yeah.
And the breakfast that was part of staying on club level.
Yeah, they were both really disappointing. It's like the club lounge had snacks, but the snacks were really just literally snacks. There was not the kind of quality that you got from the club lounge at Hong Kong or Shanghai. So it was just a bit, I think our expectations were just raised a little bit too much because of the experience we had at the other concierge level experiences in Disney.
I think so. I think we had been really spoiled. Shanghai in particular, Hong Kong was in the same sort of idea of it. I think that we're just going to do, if we do club level or concierge level, I think we're just going to do it in those two where we know it's good.
Yeah, definitely.
But we did have an excellent room.
Oh, the room, you couldn't fault it. And I think when we found out you could stay in a turret, that we were sold.
Yeah, that was it. Just take our money. Let us stay in the turret.
The idea of it, because I mean, you go to Disney and like there's a castle and the castle has turrets, but the hotel also has turrets, the round bits on the edge of the building.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, we've got to do that.
Yeah, and we did. And it was great because we had such a nice room to go and relax in. So it had a lounge area. The bed was in the same room, but it was in an alcove, I guess you would call it, as well as a massive bathroom. I kind of didn't want to come home.
And so many windows as well.
Yeah, because you're on that round, so you got like basically three quarters of the room was just windows. It was three quarters of the room. Am I exaggerating?
I'd say then. No, it's three quarters of the room. It was, most of that turret bit was all windows, and it was a good thing as well because the view from that room.
The view. Where do we even start? You have a view that goes beyond the park gates that are just in front of you. You can see into the park, and beyond that, you can see Disney Sea. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was great. You're just looking straight down and having the monorail going past, seeing people milling about the forecourt, I guess, of the Disneyland.
Having the piped music, you open up the windows in the morning and your room was filled instantly with Disney.
Yes, yeah, it was just absolutely amazing. And looking out and seeing, you know, not just, you know, as you said, Disneyland, but also seeing, you know, Mount Prometheus and the SS Columbia, you know, seeing the weenies from both parks was absolutely amazing.
That was. It was just outstanding room. We couldn't have asked for better. And we actually watched the Castles show one night from the room.
Yes, yeah, we did.
That was incredible. I mean, it was like we were looking straight down Main Street is probably the best way to describe the view, wasn't it?
Oh, definitely.
So I had a really great view of the castle, and it was a great way to watch those fireworks.
No, absolutely, just couldn't be happier with the experience of the room and everything like that.
So being so close to the monorail and being right outside the park gates, we had no problems getting in and out of the parks. It was great.
Yeah, it was very accessible, very convenient. Just couldn't be happier.
Look, the thing is that there's so much to talk about with Tokyo Disneyland, the resort itself. I've been wanting to talk about the food so much for so long. So I thought maybe we could go on a little food journey. What do you reckon?
Sounds like a plan.
Excellent. Thought we'd take a little food adventure around the two parks. Because what we found is that, and you're the king of snacking.
Yes, I do like my snacks.
It was just outstanding. The snacks that were available were just out of this world. You had to hunt some of them down, which was so much fun, going on little expeditions trying to find where things were. A little frustrating sometimes.
But no, you're right. It was like the snacking game at Tokyo Disneyland was completely on point. It's just, I don't think it's even got an equal in any of the other parks we've ever visited.
Absolutely not. I think we did find that there was some different things, particularly in Shanghai and Hong Kong, that were available as far as snacking went. But this was out of this world. So I kind of don't know how to go about this, because there's just so much to talk about. But I think we should probably start with popcorn.
Okay, let's start with popcorn. It's a big thing in Tokyo. So
how many flavors are there?
There's, I think, a lot. Yeah, definitely a lot, yeah.
Because there was everything from, you know, your savoury ones like curry through to honey and a couple of different types of chocolate. And there was a particular kind of chocolate that we don't know whether it exists or not.
Yeah, my white whale was white chocolate popcorn, because I swear the first day we were there, I saw it, I smelt it, and then I couldn't find it again for the rest of the 5 days that we were there.
Yeah, it was a bit terrible, because every time we were in, this is in the Disneyland park, every time we saw a new stand, we'd hurry over there and it wouldn't be white chocolate. Lots of milk chocolate, but no white chocolate.
Yes, it was very, very sad.
So there was just like this really extreme variety, and often they were themed to the area that they were located in. So the honey flavour you found over near Pooh's Honey Hunt. There was a kind of Italian-y flavour, I guess you'd call it, the tomato and herb flavour. You found that over in Tokyo Disney Sea, and Lewis is pulling a face because he did not like that flavour.
Yeah, the tomato and herb kind of put me off trying any more of the savoury popcorns. Mm. So I definitely, after that one, stuck to the sweet.
Yeah.
But then I don't think the soy sauce or the curry was that appealing to me.
No, I must admit the soy sauce one, because I really like soy sauce, but there was something about the way that it was heated. It smelled really weird to me.
Yeah, the smell was strange, but I tell you what, though, the sweet ones were great.
I could just eat mountains of that honey flavour.
I've got a feeling like because the caramel was good. But I still think the caramel at Shanghai Disneyland was better.
Yeah, like, there was something about that caramel.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was pretty good in Tokyo. So I think you tried four flavours, and correct me if I'm wrong, The first one off the bat was the tomato and herb.
Yeah.
Not a hit.
We're not going to be, trying that one again.
And then you tried milk chocolate, not to be mixed up with white chocolate.
Yeah, quite right. And the milk chocolate was great. It was just like chocolate popcorn. Like, because I like eating a Choc Top at the movies, which is like chocolate over ice cream and popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect combination. And this was like, you know, having that in a bucket.
Okay. So it was, I can't remember. I don't think it was very salty, was it?
No. It was just sweet. Yeah.
Okay. And then, of course, we had the honey popcorn and the caramel popcorn. So four different flavors. That's not too bad for 5 days.
Yeah.
I think you probably could have upped your popcorn eating game just a little bit. But there was so much other stuff to eat.
Do you want me to list off the other popcorns?
Yeah, absolutely. If you've got a list to hand.
I'll list all of them anyway. But so you had caramel and soy sauce and butter, milk chocolate, honey, salt, soy sauce. I've already done soy sauce and butter. Curry. These ones here, there's not as many as I thought. Because mainly the ones we didn't do was soy sauce and butter and curry. But we tried everything else. Maybe they're like seasonal or something.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. Excellent. So we actually got through quite a few flavors. Yeah. That's good. I reckon we should rock the curry next time.
Okay. We'll try a box of curry. We'll try a box of curry.
So the other thing that we ate that you had to sort of look around for different flavors was the churros.
Yes.
So the first one that you got was the... Was it the lightsaber churro?
I'm pretty sure it was the lightsaber churro, which is in Tomorrowland, but it's in that like no man's land in Tomorrowland where you've just gone past Space Mountain and you're walking towards their version of the Orbitron, which is, I don't think it's there anymore. I think they've closed that down. Yeah, so so it's just basically a no man's land where there's a couple of food carts and one of them had the lightsaber churros and they were awesome.
And they were blue?
And they were melon flavoured.
That was incredible.
Were they blue or were they green? I thought it was green.
Okay, maybe they were green. Maybe I'm colourblind. Who knows?
They were melon, so it'd have to be green, surely.
Yeah, I know, but I thought it was a bluey colour. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Either way, tasty as.
Yeah.
I'm one of these people, I like sweet things. I can't eat a lot of it. I just find, I'd rather eat a bowl of olives, to tell you the truth. But I did have a couple of bites of that.
It's a really weird flavor. Like, that's not a flavor you're going to get anywhere else in the world.
No.
Because I think the Japanese like another thing called melon bread, which we didn't get to try, but it's available in different parts of the park.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's something for next time.
Excellent. I'll put that on the list. You also tried one of Mickey's Café au Lait churros.
That rocked. I mean, coffee in a churro, that just makes sense. So much sense.
Wouldn't have thought so, but apparently it did. And the other thing that we tried that was churro-esque was the tortoise sweet potato.
Yes. I've never had one of these things. I think they're called tippy tortas or something like that. Never had one before. And it was an amazing thing. It was just...
So there was a chocolate flavour and there was a sweet potato flavour. And we thought we'd rock the sweet potato because it was the most unusual, right?
Yes.
That was pretty cool.
It was very tasty. That's what I love about traveling around the world and particularly going to Disney parks is just trying different stuff that you wouldn't normally think that would be good and then it's amazing.
Yeah, it kind of adds to the experience, you know, just finding stuff that's so unique and so different. They didn't do your traditional Mickey ears?
Mickey ice cream bars,
yeah, I think. They don't do Mickey ice cream bars. But they did a mini version.
They did a mini version and it was a like a ice lolly more, so it was like a watery raspberry flavor, which I love. I'm a big fan of an ice lolly. So
yeah, I think it was raspberry and peach in an ice block. So it was very pink, shaped like Minnie Mouse. Yeah.
It was very girly, so it was right up my alley. It was fantastic. I was very happy walking around with my pink ice lolly.
That's awesome. And the other thing that they had in the ice cream or the icy kind of land was, I don't know what I'm saying. The other cold thing that they had to enjoy was something that we decided to dub Faux Whip. So they didn't have pineapple flavor, but near, what was it? It was called, wasn't the Enchanted Tiki Room. They called it Stitches Aloha Komamai.
Yeah, I thought it was the Enchanted Tiki Room, and then it was like hyphen Stitches.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And so over there they had Mango Dole Whip.
Which was good. I mean, neither of us are fans of mango by itself. Like, you know, mango as a fruit.
Yeah.
We generally don't like it.
No.
But mango as a flavor, we can like, you know, get on board with that.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah.
And it was partnered with milk flavored ice cream. This is something that spun me out. Usually we'd say if the white ice cream would be vanilla,
mm-hmm.
but it was milk.
Yes.
Very clearly milk.
I liked it. I thought it was a different kind of, you know, it wasn't a massive departure from vanilla.
Yeah, because it didn't have that that sort of fragrant vanilla taste.
Yes, yeah.
But it wasn't, it was just nice.
But I guess the good thing about it is it doesn't overpower the other ice cream because you haven't got that the vanilla taste in there.
Mm. I'm trying to remember the other flavors that we tried. I think there was definitely a peach and milk swirl. I believe that was the flavor that was at or near Star Tours. No, that was raspberry. Yeah. So there was peach and milk swirl was near Splash Mountain.
Was that peach? I thought it was strawberry there.
Okay, so it's strawberry there. Gosh, Lou. So it was strawberry over by Splash Mountain.
Mm.
And then over by Star Tours, it was the peach and milk swirl.
Yeah. But the peach was definitely a reddy colour, though.
Yeah, which was a bit unusual. And it was served in a black cone.
Yeah, that was kind of exciting.
Yeah.
It was very Sith. Very Sith.
I'm Sith of this ice cream. So we tried the Mango Dole Whip twice because we were quite taken with that.
Yeah, it was very nice.
And one of the things that we didn't get to try in Shanghai was the duck leg. And we were really annoyed that we never got the opportunity to do it. Because we thought, you know, what a great alternative to the turkey leg.
Yeah, yeah, it would. It was a shame, but it just was never around when we wanted it.
Yeah, but we made up for it. Tokyo had two offerings that we tried in the leg department.
Yeah. Not duck, though.
No, it wasn't duck. It was chicken, but it was pretty nice.
It was good, about the right size as well. Yeah. Like the problem with turkey legs, too darn big. You know, a duck leg might be a bit small, but I reckon a chicken is the right size.
So we had a smoked chicken leg, and we also tried the teriyaki chicken leg. Which was your favourite?
I actually liked them both. I couldn't really, you know, pick between the two.
Mm. Yeah, I like that smoky flavour, but the teriyaki was delicious.
And you're in Asia, so you know.
When in Tokyo.
Exactly, exactly.
So here's the thing. There's a whole lot of stuff that they do there that's just, you're never going to find it anywhere else.
No, no. It's very, very much Japanese.
Well, not necessarily Japanese. I just think it was very exclusively Tokyo Disneyland. So you found something that blended two of your favorite flavors together. Oh, no, three. Do you count the deep frying? Is that a flavor?
Yes.
Your banana caramel burrito.
A banana caramel burrito. It was ridiculous. That doesn't sound right, but it just really was.
It was brilliant. I actually really enjoyed it. I managed to get a couple of bites of that.
just a couple. Just a couple.
Was there chocolate in it as well?
I think so, yeah. We had to wait for it as well. It was popular to the point where, you know, you had to wait around a bit for it to be cooked and be fresh.
And also, well, you need it to be cooked fresh, otherwise it would just be sort of soggy and horrible. But it was a really just made-to-order, delicious, nice and crunchy on the outside and soft and gooey on the inside. Just how you want it.
Yeah, and it didn't take that long to get it. Like, it wasn't too long a wait. But it does make me worried if you went to the park on a busier day than we went, then yeah, you might be waiting a while for your burrito.
Yeah, it was pretty popular in terms of the amount of people that were waiting as well. And then the other thing that was kind of popular was the green alien mochi.
Oh, that was very popular. That was a, you know, just a constant line of people just going through and buying it and buying it and buying it.
Well, because we shared the first lot that we had and then we ate elsewhere, so we didn't have any on that same day. Mm. But we went back and we got more. So it's not something that you just have once while you're there.
No, they're really nice. So they're the green aliens from Toy Story, and they're these little dumplings with the alien's head, and they look exactly like the alien's head.
I know.
You kind of feel a little bit guilty biting into them, but you're so rewarded when you do. Because inside each of the heads is a different filling. So we had strawberry, we had chocolate, and we had alien brains.
Is that what we're calling it now?
No, we didn't. We had custard. We had custard. They were really, really tasty. And I think they actually do like seasonal different flavors in there as well.
Oh, really?
And I believe it, we bought three.
Yeah.
But I think you could also like buy nine and stuff like that. And I think nine might have been overdoing it. Just like that could be too many aliens in one hit.
And it was really, really nice because I expected it to be really sweet and it wasn't. It was just that perfect amount because it's rice-based, the paste that they make the outside from, the green bit as it were. And then the filling was a cream, but they didn't make it too sweet. And I think that was really well done. It's my kind of dessert.
No, it was great. I think that's the thing about Japan as well, is you can have sweets, but they're not overly sugary stuff. So it really does work well, particularly for your and my palate, because we're not really into the really sweet stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, I really do. I prefer the savoury stuff. You know, things like gyoza hot dog.
Now, this is something you're aware of and excited for before we even, you know, got to Tokyo Disney.
Yeah, I was fantasizing about getting me one of those gyoza hot dogs because I love gyoza. I really do. Like, I don't care whether they're just steamed or steamed and pan fried. Those little wrappers filled with that porky goodness. But this was a little bit different, wasn't it? So the outside was more like a bao bun, like
soft.
It was soft and bready as opposed to being like a wrapper.
Yes, yeah.
Which, you know, didn't detract from it at all. And the filling was, in my books, a pretty pretty normal kind of pork filling that I would have expected any sort of gyoza to have. But it was such a tasty little treat. It really was. So we might have had a couple of those, I think.
We did, and it was a good way to start your day because I remember that was the first thing we ate in Disney Sea because we went there specifically to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to, you know, find the place as well because it was in Mount Prometheus and you had to find out exactly where it was.
So. Yeah, you have to sort of go downstairs and there's a little eatery down by the water there. So, yeah, that was well worth tracking down. And then there were just some other things that we found as we were wandering around the park. So particularly over in Disneyland, there were two things that we found over there just pretty much by chance. We hadn't heard of them before. One was the pork rice roll, which I was like, oh, pork rice roll. Oh, it's probably like chopped up pork cooked with rice and, you know, somehow rolled. No. It's sticky rice and it's sort of like it's kind of round and long, but it's wrapped in bacon, my friend. It was so good.
Yeah, it was pretty rocking. I mean, that was something else. That's worth going to Tokyo Disney alone.
Yeah, I reckon. And the other thing that was kind of nearby to there as well that we tried more than once was the tortilla hot dog with cheese. That was a little taste sensation. I'm surprised I haven't tried to whip that up here. It was really yummy. There was something about the cheese and the tortilla and the little hot dog.
It was great. That was in the Critter Country, the Splash Mountain area, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah.
But they were just some really, really tasty treats.
Mm.
And you're walking so much when you're over there. Like, there were days that we were doing pretty much 30,000 steps.
That's a lot of steps. How many does that equate to kilometers? Like 30,000 steps?
I don't know. Well,
it's a lot.
To put it into perspective, yeah. I did less than that last week, and I had a pretty active week. So, you know, while I don't actually go running all the time and doing cardio, like, you know, that's a whole week worth of not getting to that many steps. So
we're allowed
you
kind of
need to. Well, you need to snack because you need to keep your energy levels up. Otherwise, it's all just going to go pear shaped. Or your butt will go pear-shaped for all the snacking, one or the other. Oh, my goodness. But the other thing that we tried, and that was when we were trying the rice and pork roll, was that they had a seasonal drink, and that was something really, really yummy. So I'm not much for this whole having jelly and stuff in my drinks because lumpy bits in my drink, I don't know. But we had, it was like a lemonade with a bit of berry thrown in there as well. And it was like sort of, so it was a little bit sweet and tangy, but sour. And then it had these little bits of jelly and, oh.
It was the perfect drink for you because you do love the sour things.
Yeah.
And I liked it though. I mean, it had the sweet, I think it had like a popping candy kind of stuff in there as well.
Yeah, it did.
It was just, oh, amazing. It was absolutely
amazing.
I think
we might have had another one of those drinks, but that was more, it wasn't that particular one. It was a different one and it was more your bubble tea. So it had those tapioca balls in it.
That was the one we had in Disney Sea that was around Indiana Jones and that area.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good because I've always avoided those kind of things because I've always thought that the texture of the solid and the liquid would have not worked, but I got over it very quickly.
Because it was tasty.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. The other thing that we did was, I wasn't that thrilled by it, but we went over to Expiari just to, I don't know, just check it out, really. And we ended up heading over there and we had a really, really awesome ramen experience.
Should we explain what Expiari is?
Yeah, maybe.
So Expiari is the, like, their equivalent of the Disney Town, Disney Village, Disney Springs kind of thing, but it's not, because Tokyo Disneyland is run by OLC, which is the Oriental Land Corporation, and not Disney. It's the actual Expiari is not Disney themed, really. It's just a shopping mall at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Which is nice if you want to have a break from Disney. But...
And that's what we did. Mm. And we had a really nice meal that, you know, it was just nice to have something that was completely different. Like, I know we were eating a lot of different food, but it was just like, it was food that you could, it was a little bit more homely, I guess. Was that, like, that's how I felt about it anyway.
Yeah, probably like more traditional Japanese possibly.
Right. And we discovered Honolulu Coffee, which is basically just coffee and an excuse to have macadamia-flavoured everything. That was pretty cool as well. So got me caffeine fix.
Yeah, no, that was good.
Yeah. So there were two main restaurants that we kind of checked out, and both of them offered both a, would you say a fine dining experience? It wasn't fine dining, but it was definitely upper end.
Yeah, it is.
Let's not put that in.
upper class.
It was definitely a little bit posh.
Well, I think it's more like, you know, a more deluxe dining experience that we'd get here in Perth.
Mm. And so they both offered that dining experience, but they also both had lounges where you could go and have maybe a lighter meal and a couple of drinks.
And we did.
We did. So the SS Columbia, which is the ship that's actually based there, that's a replica of a ship that sunk many years ago. It's all right. This one's not going to sink. It's on land. So that has the Teddy Roosevelt Lounge, and it also has the SS Columbia dining room. So you'd booked a lunch for later in our stay at the dining room.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that we got to try was the lounge, and you tried a really different kind of way of serving beer.
Yes, I had my Kirin frozen beer, which was, it's kind of like a beer slushy, but it's not, because the actual beer itself is not frozen. It's just really cold. But on top of it is the head is a frozen whipped head, and it was really cool because the frozen head stayed with you the whole beer, and so it was something different. It was very, very different.
It was, and it was like, I don't know, it was kind of like having soft serve on top to look at.
Yeah, and then when you finish your beer, you've got this like beer slushy head that you get to eat as well. And I think people who go to Walt Disney World can also grab that at the Japanese Pavilion at Epcot, because it's there as well.
Oh, how did we miss that?
I don't know. I don't think we spent enough time in Japan.
Yeah. At Epcot.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. So we had a drink first up in the Teddy Roosevelt Lounge. We returned on another day and we had a lunch there, which was really yummy. Like, I think we had a starter of baked camembert. That was pretty yummy.
Oh, it was, yeah, just really nice food, really nice atmosphere, great drinks. I mean, I'd be surprised if you didn't spend half your holiday there, quite frankly.
Well, we just about did, because on our last day it started to rain, and so I was like, look, let's go over to the lounge and we'll go and have a couple of drinks, and, you know, we're kind of getting towards the end of our trip. And, of course, because it had started to rain, everyone had the same idea. And even though we were right at the beginning of the line, pretty much, like we were really close to the beginning, obviously, a lot of people had made bookings as well that day, and we waited in line. I think we got there at about 25 past five, and we didn't actually get seated until 10 past six, but it was so good that we waited for it.
I think that was one of the longest lines we had the whole time we were there.
I know. It was the only time that we were a little bit disorganized. So the dining experience at the SS Columbia was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, the only downside was you said it'd be good if we were seated on the other side of the ship to get the ocean views and stuff.
Yeah,
but it was still nice where we all sat, and it was the food was amazing, and it was the service was great.
Service was impeccable. That was pretty amazing. Really, really good experience. I'd definitely book and go back there. So the first dining experience that we had was actually at Magellan's, which is under the mountain.
Yes.
So that was a lunch. And it's, how would you describe the setting that you're in?
In Magellan's?
Yeah.
It's kind of explorer-ish, because you walk in and the first thing that you see is a massive globe in the middle of the dining room. But then when you go downstairs, there's actually another section where we were sat, where it was like, you know, a bit more tucked away.
Yeah, we were kind of in a separate little dining room, weren't we?
And it had like models of ships and other bits and pieces around the place. But yeah, I thought it was a really nice atmosphere they had in there.
It was. And the food, while it wasn't outstanding, it was really enjoyable.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed the food, and it was, you know, a set menu kind of situation. Hmm. So you chose, you know, options A, B, and C. And yeah, I was quite happy with the food.
And we tried a really different type of wine as well. So when we travel, we usually try and, you know, we don't want to go for like the stock standard stuff that we can get anywhere. And so we talked to the waitress that we had, or server, about the wines that they had on offer there. And we tried something called Koshu, which is a really different kind of grape. I mean, it was probably comparable with other varietals that we've tried before, but it was really delicious. It was something like sort of like that minerally kind of taste that you get out of some of the New Zealand white wines. But it was really incredible. I really liked that.
That was very, very tasty. It was good to have an opportunity to taste a wine from a country that you wouldn't normally have that opportunity. Definitely, we don't get, you know, Japanese wines here in Perth without, like, looking really hard for them.
Yeah, I mean, you can find them. It's just, yeah, like you say, you have to sort of go hunting for them, as it were. But it was really nice, that restaurant. I don't know that I would book to go back there like now that I've tried it, I think it was a really nice place to go there and experience it this one time, but I wasn't as taken with it as I was the SS Columbia.
No, I agree. I think SS Columbia was a better dining experience. And because you're in the ship and you can look out the windows, you've got that view element to it as well.
Mm.
Whereas in Magellan's, you're kind of like underground and there's you're not really seeing anything.
Yeah.
Could you imagine how Magellan's would be good, though? Considering it's like next to a volcano or underneath a volcano, if they had screens there or something like that, which was showing like lava flow or that kind of thing, really play up the fact that you're in a volcano?
That's true. That could make it a little bit different.
Mind you, there was actually a quick service restaurant there. I think it's called Volcania or something like that. And that might have it, but we never went in there.
Oh, is that the one that's actually inside where the lake is?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Something to do next time.
Yeah. I think planning for that next trip might just have to step it up a notch. Just saying. We also tried, so they had a lounge area up the top where you could have a drink and order some small foods. You could order some small plates. That was nice, but pretty, like, stock standard, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was it was good, but it wasn't something I'd rush back to do.
Yeah. But, like, overall, you know, not a bad experience, just nothing that I'd actually repeat. So we tried some other places that was sort of more along the lines of your quick service within the parks. Over by Splash Mountain, you found a really good little place to eat.
Yes, I found Grandma Sarah's, which is a quick service restaurant actually in the Splash Mountain ride. And so if you've ever been to the other Disney parks and you've gone to the Blue Bayou or gone to the Blue Lagoon, which is the restaurant within Pirates of the Caribbean, this is kind of a similar idea, but you're at that point of Splash Mountain where people have just gone down the descent and they've splashed into the water and now they're, you know, going back to where you get unloaded.
Mm.
And so you get to see the look on people's faces after they've experienced the drop and they're getting wet and all that kind of stuff. And everyone reacts so differently.
And there were some really cool reactions.
And we were watching it at night as well. And I don't know. I think there was some regret in some of those faces.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I saw some accusing eyes. People turning around looking at their loved ones and just going, why? Yeah. Why did you let me do this?
Because it was the temperatures there were nice, but they weren't exactly what you'd call
it was
warm.
Cooler in the evening, that's for sure. That was really, it was just a nice little homely meal that we had as well.
Yeah, it was. It was great. And I think the first night we were there in the Disney parks, we kind of forgot to eat dinner. And then when we got back to the hotel, we were like, oh my God, we need to eat something. And then we got room service and that sort of thing. And we went, oh, this is not what we want to do. And so we made a concerted effort to make sure that we ate on the other nights.
Definitely.
And so with Grandma Sarah's, that was just, we were there and we just watched the electrical light parade go past.
Mm.
And then we were like, well, what are we going to do for dinner? Like, let's go to Splash Mountain. Let's go get some food down there.
I think we were pretty hungry that night as well. So, but that was good. It was you found a really good spot to sit. It was really good.
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. I highly recommend if you do go to Tokyo Disneyland, go and eat there and go and watch people just, you know, come off that ride.
Yeah, the reactions are priceless. To close down our little experience, we decided to go and have a meal at the New York Delicatessen.
Yeah, that was great. Like it's situated on the American waterfront area, and where that they've got this tram and stuff going past, and it's just the theming of this area is fantastic. And then the food was really good as well. I thought
it was amazing. I think did we both have Reubens?
I think so. Yeah.
And they had this really cool system. So we also ordered a beer and there was a separate beer counter. So you get tokens when you order your meal and you take those tokens and you turn them into beers. It's like a magic trick. But that was just a nice, relaxing way to sort of finish things up. Because I think it was starting to get a bit rainy by that stage. And, you know, you sort of have that horrible feeling like, oh, it's over. But it was just a nice little meal to finish up with.
No, it was great. It was good watching people walking past in the rain and just very, very nice.
Because we sat in that little outdoor area on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was nice and covered. It was just something a bit different.
Mm.
So, favorite meal?
SS Columbia Dining Room.
Yeah, hands down. Hands down. And do you know what? The only one that would probably come in second was probably in the Teddy Roosevelt Lounge. I thought that that meal was outstanding.
So what we're saying is eat in a boat.
We'll be eating in a boat soon. Yeah. Well, you know, in about like 400 days.
Yeah.
Oh, such fond memories. And I, scrolling through all the photos while we've been talking, I just can't wait to go back. I really can't. And on that happy note.
I've been Lewis.
And I've been Catherine.
And if you want to find out more about Diz Down Under, go to our website, dizdownunder.com. And we're also on Facebook and Instagram and Smoke Signals. Is that right?
No, I believe they call it Twitter now, darling.
Twitter. Yeah. Okay, Twitter.
And yeah. All of those are at Diz Down Under.
Excellent. And we'll catch you down under next week.
Bye.
Diz Down Under is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Any external audio played on this podcast is for the purpose of discussion and are the property of the copyright holders. All original content is the property of Diz Down Under, a podcast produced by the Gentlemen of Pop Culture, all rights reserved. This podcast has been brought to you by the Gentlemen of Pop Culture.